Welcome to They'll Be Fine.
We're your hosts, Kim Heckman
and Lisa Pagano.
You've probably heard it before. They're smart. They're gifted. They'll be fine. But what if that's not always true?
In this podcast, we'll explore the surprising struggles that many gifted students face that lead to underachievement, as well as discuss practical strategies to help these brilliant minds reach their full potential.
Because they deserve better than just being fine. Let's give them what they really need to thrive and succeed.
In this episode, Kim Tredick, a seasoned educator with 36 years in public education, discusses her journey and passion for gifted education. She details her professional background from being an elementary school teacher to an assistant superintendent, emphasizing the need for differentiation. Kim introduces the depth and complexity framework developed in the early 1990s by Dr. Sandra Kaplan and Betty Gould as a way to enhance critical and creative thinking among students of all learning levels. She explains how the framework utilizes visual icons to help students actively engage in metacognition, promoting inclusive and equitable education. The interview covers practical applications of the framework, its benefits, and success stories, along with resources available through J. Taylor Education and the Center for Depth and Complexity for educators and parents alike. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kim. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your professional background in education?
My name is Kim Tredick, and I've been a public educator for 36 years. I was an elementary school teacher for 24 years and really found that I needed to learn how to differentiate for my students because I was a teacher in California. And there was no specialized pullout program. It was full inclusion. Students with IEPs, English learners, multilingual learners, all students were in there, gifted. And I really needed some way to meet the needs of all my students. I've always had this moral compass that says every student deserves an opportunity to be challenged. So that's where I started with my differentiation and gifted passion. I did move into being an assistant principal, a principal, and then I was the director of curriculum and instruction, also the director of special education. And then I ended my public school career as an assistant superintendent of educational services. And all through my roles, I've just maintained the passion for supporting all students, no matter what. And finding the needs and finding, being proactive to find the needs of what our students deserve. And then also now I currently work as the lead trainer and curriculum writer for J. Taylor Education and the Center for Depth and Complexity. I've been a consultant for John Gould, the owner, since 2006 when he first started the company. And now I just do this full time.
So it sounds like you have a lot of great career experience from the lens of a classroom teacher and administration. What have you seen in terms of gifted students being supported? Or have you found that most of the time they just aren't getting the support they need?
Unfortunately, it's more of how they didn't get supported. My gifted journey started as a child. I was identified in third grade for a program called Mentally Gifted Minors, MGM. And we made potholders in a pullout program. And then we had extra homework to make up the work we missed in class. So I had a really bad taste for being gifted. So I was one of those underachieving, underground gifted kids who got in trouble a lot for talking too much and did enough to just skate by with A's. So that was my experience with the gifted programs. And then I have two sons also who are both highly gifted. And they both went to my elementary school where I was teaching. And my younger son, he was 4 years old in kindergarten, and he came home from school and he said, "Mom, I learned something new today." And I'm like, "What did you learn?" He goes, "I learned I need to slow down." "Okay, tell me more about that." He says, "When I finish my work early, Miss T gives me more work to do, and it's not fair. So I'm going to slow down and pretend to be like everyone else." And it really made me think, like, how many other gifted kids are not having their needs met in our classrooms? And I was fortunate to work in a district that we had a director who was an advocate for gifted education. And so I volunteered to be the gifted coordinator for the school. I got my certificate through UC San Diego, learned all about the characteristics and differentiation. And through that process, I learned about the depth and complexity framework. But that's really how I got into it. My experience, though, working with people all across the nation, being colleagues and then also observing teachers or supervising, we underestimate and underserve our gifted students constantly, because exactly what your podcast is all about, we think they're going to be fine. And I think that overall gifted programs, our kids are gifted 24/7, not 3 hours a week when the pullout program. And so I think our gifted programs need to be just more fluid and proactive in how they support our students. And my goal has always been, let's help teachers be better at taking the ceiling off, creating open-ended critical thinking opportunities for their students. And so that's really where my passion is. And with this recent focus on accountability, the higher-ups seem to think that if we can make things more scripted, then we will make things better for our students. And that's absolutely opposite of what's happening for our gifted kids.
I think we're going to have a lot of listeners who can relate to what you just shared. Let's have you explain the depth and complexity framework.
So the framework is something that was created in the early 90s by Dr. Sandra Kaplan and Betty Gould at USC. They were tasked with the challenge of increasing student achievement in AP and IB programs, and also increasing the number of students who were passing the California High School exit exam that they had at the time. And so they looked through all classical literature, all of the different disciplines, all of the curriculum, and they found that there were these common strategies and thinking processes within all of these. I was actually a teacher in elementary school when they rolled out these concepts, and I'm like, great, more academic vocabulary to teach. Right over my head. So then they did a little bit of research, not because I couldn't do it, but because they found it was challenging to everyone. And they did dual coding research, and then they attached, Sheila Madsen was part of the process, to attach the icons to the thinking processes. There were 11 icons originally, and then they figured that they missed some of the processes, so they added 5 more called the content imperatives. And those are the icons of depth and complexity. The framework itself also consists of the work with the universal concepts and generalizations, and then the expert thinking, like a disciplinarian component. So the framework in a nutshell.
And how does the depth and complexity framework uniquely support the needs of gifted learners and challenge and engage them?
So the framework allows teachers to change and fine-tune how they are leading students through the thinking process within the instruction. Instead of teaching, you know, every sentence begins with a capital letter and has an end mark, and then here's how you do it, teachers then talk to students about there are rules in writing structure. And let's examine this set of sentences here, and let's discuss or identify some patterns that we notice, and we will observe the patterns in order to find the rules. When you use a prompt like that to focus and frame the thinking, we've now told students how to change their critical thinking to seek something. We know as teachers what we want kids to find, but it's not visible to our students. And we tell them, think about it. They don't know what think means. Elementary kids sit down and think, what am I going to play at recess today? Like, they don't know. So the icons themselves are the tools that teachers can use to take the ceiling off and keep. So many of our lessons are scripted and have a closed fill-in-the-blank activity. And using an icon allows every student to have access. Even our students with disabilities, our students who are English learners or multilingual learners, they can access and process at their level, whatever their entry level is. And so our gifted kids who are already up here have a different way to now engage in it, but at how they're making sense of it and connecting. And teachers, it's too much to ask for teachers to differentiate 30 different assignments, but using the icons of depth complexity, you can create one assignment, but use the icons to prompt the thinking. And the process is more important than the product. If you focus on the process, kids are going to meet the product or the expectation. So that's really how the framework works.
This is so great. In my classroom, I try to model metacognition. When I'm doing a problem, so I'll talk aloud to myself so the students can hear the steps that I'm taking and, you know, the words I say to myself as I'm working through a problem. And it sounds like depth and complexity is basically like a visual metacognition because you have these thinking skills that are in icons that can drive a discussion so that they are open-ended and the teacher can differentiate. Is it mainly just discussion or is there writing that comes with it?
You can use it in discussions. There's writing prompts, quick write. We have graphic organizers that we use. There's things called frames where you use multiple icons to analyze information. The ultimate goal is to have students have this toolkit of all of these tools and these icons so then they can apply them when needed. You said metacognition. I had a third grader one time come to me and we were reading and we had an iconic pathway for reading. And my lesson was about author's purpose, but I had them choose an iconic pathway for how they could discover the author's purpose of this text. And about halfway through her reading, she came up to me and said, "Miss Tredick, my pathway isn't working." I'm like, "Tell me about it." She said, "I thought that I should analyze multiple perspectives to help me see the big idea because we're learning about author's purpose, but it's not working this time. Can I change it?" I'm like, "Well, what do you want to change it to?" She says, "Well, it's really about the patterns and the behavior of the character and how it's changing over time. So can I change my pathway to analyzing patterns will help me see the change over time?" And I'm like, "Okay, go ahead." That's an 8-year-old articulating metacognition. The challenge with the framework is as students get older and have not had experience with it, they're so used to coasting gifted kids that when you give them something that requires them to have engaged the brain, like my students would tell me it's like flipping a switch to turn on their brain because they never had it on for school, which is awful to hear. But they struggle a little. But then once they realize like these tools actually open the floodgates for all the different ways that they can analyze and digest and then also own their own learning. I can't think of any other framework in my 36 years of experience that has remained solid. It never swings with a pendulum, doesn't change. If standards change, if this different state, different country, different set of expectations or initiatives, it is the one thing that has always remained constant. It's like the depth complexity is the new plate and you serve up everything else. I feel like I need to go back to my first 5 years of kids in my class and apologize for holding them back.
We all do.
We all do. I love that analogy though. And I just love, you know, the whole idea of taking the ceiling off and making critical and creative thinking accessible to all students. So while it's a great strategy to help challenge and engage our gifted learners, like you said earlier, all students can benefit from this strategy. All students can access it at their own level. And really, it's an equity builder for our kids.
Absolutely.
Love that. What advice would you give educators who are just getting started or who are their interest is now peaked in the depth and complexity framework?
You just have to let go. I know teachers in general, and I'm a teacher at heart, we're control freaks. And we need to just let go of the control a little bit and put all of the ownership and responsibility and the hard work and the pain in their brain onto the students. And so as a teacher new to depth complexity, like just jump in and try with the discussion and use some icons and watch in awe as your students just take off in places that you never imagined that they could go to. And you will see it. Like when I talk to new teachers that I've gone in for a training and then I'll connect with them later, either through a Zoom or go back to visit or something. And they're like, we could not believe the discussions that our students were having. I just had a training last week and the teacher was saying, my kids are prolific writers now in third grade because they don't hesitate, because they know that whatever they're thinking is absolutely acceptable. And they're using these icons to do that. So teachers just need to let go a little, try it out, and then let the kids do all the work.
It's hard for us sometimes to give up that control, but it's worth it.
Most teachers are in the profession to help. And in our attempt to help, we enable students to be helpless and have somebody else do all the work for them. And this shifts that. So if you are truly a teacher who wants to help kids, let them have some struggle. Help them through that and then also help them own their learning and then build that confidence. Starting depth and complexity is actually easy for students. It's the teachers that have the habits that they have to unlearn.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we say the terms depth, complexity, and it sounds like this vague, abstract thing. But I think the icons really give it more of this concrete framework and make it more doable. We're lending our lessons to have that depth component, the complexity component, and ideally both to really ramp up the rigor.
Do you have a memorable moment or a story that you could share? You know, it's like one of those moments where you kind of get confirmed that what you're doing is leading to success.
I can tell you the one success story that really sticks in my brain is one student I was shopping at, and this big giant teenager was running toward me. And he's, Ms. Tredick, and how are you? And he's, I want you to come to my graduation. I'm valedictorian of the high school. And I'm like, what was your GPA? And he's 4.87. I'm like, oh my gosh. And how are those AP classes? And he goes, Ms. Tredick, to tell you the truth, I never had any more pain in my brain in any of my AP classes than I did in your sixth grade class. You taught me how to think, and nothing in AP was hard. And I'm like, what? And so I share that story all the time because kids need those pieces to be able to own it and attack it and know how to respond and engage. So much of the learning that happens is passive on the part of the kids. And the framework flips that and puts all of the active learning onto students in all those different pathways. And so, you know, looking at a teacher who is using the framework, you are looking at someone who's actually using an icon to prompt students in that engagement. Say we're going to read an article, and before we read the article, here's the title of it. Which icon do you think you would use to analyze this text? And students are going to say, I'm going to look at change over time because there's always change, things change. Somebody says, I'm going to look at specialized vocabulary or language of the discipline. Someone might say, I'm going to look at the converging ideas, things like that. And so they actually are using the icon. And then as they're reading, or you're reading aloud, or they're watching a video, they're comprehending and self-questioning as they go. Is this contribution or is this convergence? It isn't, I don't need it anymore. But guess what? That non-example, they had to comprehend it. And so that's really how you want to see the icons used in a classroom, is like, how is that so open-ended? So the student is engaging in the thinking, checking their own level of understanding, asking themselves questions, practicing that metacognition without the teacher telling them there's only one right answer. There's only one way to look at this. You can use that for your assessment. No worry. Just everybody can use the same test or quiz or whatever it is, but that process is critically important for the differentiation aspect.
Oh, I love all of this so much because you're highlighting exactly what I think a lot of teachers struggle with. And that's, how do we get our students to take ownership over their own learning, to be engaged and active in their thinking, right? I think sometimes students can look like they're being active. And like you said, they don't know what they have to do. So we have to train them in how to think. It just doesn't happen effortlessly for everybody. I think I'd like to hear a little bit more about what it's like from the classroom teacher's perspective, because we're basically taking these icons and adding it to a curriculum that's already established. You know, I have a lesson where I compare and contrast things already, and I use a Venn diagram with my students. How would I incorporate these icons?
Yes, the teacher can absolutely use that Venn diagram as a model. But instead of just using a Venn diagram, let's add the parallel icon because it means compare. And then what are we comparing? If we're comparing chemical reactions versus physical reactions, are we looking at contribution? Are we looking at change over time? Are we looking at language? And so we can be more specific and actually compare apples to apples in that Venn diagram. And so the teacher is the one that is modeling and teaching and arming the student, filling their toolbox with all of these icons. So then the students then can start applying them on their own.
How young can you start this program?
It's a preschool through adult learning framework. And I used to do demo classes, lessons in kindergarten. And my students, the kindergartners, were all doing a frame at their tables. And when I asked them to come back to the carpet when they finished their frame, one of the students told me, Ms. Tredick, we're converging to the carpet. And convergence is one of the depth and complexity or content imperative icons. And I always tell teachers, you know, if a three-year-old can say Tyrannosaurus Rex, a kindergartner can say convergence. So start them young and give them the tools. And you will find that your students, so much in my experience as a teacher, I had usually all of the students with IEPs. I had the gifted cluster. I had students who were multilingual learners. I had students who were behavior challenges. And none of that mattered in the classroom, because I differentiated and I taught open-endedly, and no one had difficulty accessing. No one had difficulty being challenged. Every single student was expected to learn and grow and improve, and I didn't hold them back. They engaged with the curriculum and my standards in an authentic way, making sense of it by using the icons. So that's really the goal of the framework. Is let's get those students, teachers getting students familiar with them so that the students become those autonomous learners.
This is beautiful. Just moving kids from being dependent to independent thinkers and independent learners.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners are going to want to learn even more. Can you tell us about the opportunities the Center for Depth and Complexity provides for teachers and administrators?
So the Center for Depth Complexity, of course, we have a website and we have lots of freebies on there, some examples. We do provide school level training, district level training, administrator training, super important for administrator training so they can support the teachers. We also have social media presence. So we have a YouTube channel that we're starting to build. And we have several products that are practitioner created products. So teachers who are actually using the framework have created these products. We have lesson plans. We have a differentiating tool. We have digital products where it actually helps student or helps the teacher plan for instruction by offering which icons for discussions. We have a whole set of graphic organizers. So icons as graphic organizers, and then also icon or graphic organizers like the Venn diagram with icons in them. So there's lots of teacher resources. We also are looking to launch very soon. I was just talking with John Gould yesterday, the owner. We're going to be launching a teacher membership. So when teachers sign up to become a member, they're going to get a lot of stuff for free to get them started and then have their own page. So they can go in and see lesson examples. So if you're a fifth grade teacher, you're going to see that middle elementary level different lesson plans. You'll get freebies every once in a while, like once a month. The Center for Depth Complexity, the focus is really how can we help teachers use this with their students?
And this also sounds great for homeschoolers.
We've created workbooks as well that are subject specific to support teachers in differentiation, because when they get started using the framework, it's difficult to change how you're typically planning. And so it's a workbook that, like for the math workbook, for example, can be used anywhere from probably third through 12th grade. Any math subject, any honors, any AP, doesn't matter. Because it goes through mathematical discourse, it goes through procedure. But each one of those is in a graphic organizer with icons to facilitate that engagement and that thinking for the students. So the workbooks are available too for teachers to support them in ensuring that they're getting differentiated assignments in front of kids. So all students can participate.
Well, thank you for coming today and telling us more about depth and complexity. It really sounds like an easy tool to raise the level of rigor for pretty much every student in every content area.
And it's so easy because if you do have gifted students in regular gen ed classroom, your gen ed teacher can teach this way and know that he or she is doing a better job of meeting the needs of those gifted kids. I did one year have a 4, 5, 6, all gifted, 32 students, all subjects. And it was an experimental year for the district. And what I learned that year from my students was life-changing. 32 all gifted, 4th and 5th grade, 6th grade. They cried at the beginning because it was too hard for them. Because nothing had ever required that they apply themselves or think or justify or create a criteria to prove with evidence. And then they cried because they were so happy. They named themselves the Land of the Misfit Toys, and they grew exponentially social, emotionally, like you were saying with your programs with all gifted kids. They really do need each other. So programs have to have that component. You have to have the teacher who is willing to understand. Not every teacher is going to be as gifted as their kids. Like I've had plenty of students who are a whole lot smarter than me, but you have to have the personality or the attitude to allow the kids to grow. So these programs that we have nationwide, we really need to look at how do we protect our gifted kids. We have IEPs to protect our students with disabilities, but what are we doing for our students who also are neurodivergent and don't learn in the same way? I'm sure this is why you guys have this amazing podcast, because gifted kids, they're kids. Everybody deserves an opportunity, and that's been my life's work and will continue to be.
Thank you so much, Kim, for joining us. We love chatting with you and just learning a little bit more about the depth and complexity framework.
All right. Thank you so much for inviting me on. It was a pleasure meeting both of you and talking with you today.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please help us grow our community by sharing this episode with a friend. A quick 5-star review can help our podcast reach countless new members who are also looking to support gifted education.
NCAGT provides you with resources like this podcast. Please find us on social media or visit our website at ncagt.org to learn more.
Please note, the thoughts and ideas shared in this podcast are as diverse as our guests, not always reflecting the official NCAGT stance. Until next time, stay curious and keep learning, because we can't just hope they'll be fine.